I'm going to read a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I've told you before, chapter 8, 9, and 10 of 2 Corinthians, the only place in the New Testament that has three consecutive chapters dealing with the same subject. And that is the grace of giving to get the gospel to the regions beyond. It's the only subject that's addressed in three consecutive chapters in the New Testament. God wanted the churches to know it was important. There is nothing more important than getting the gospel to the regions beyond. Amen. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Paul said, "I want you to know, brethren, God has poured out His grace on the churches in Macedonia." Well, go with me to Acts chapter 16. And let's see how that got started.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 16. Verse number 6. These missionaries are trying to get the gospel to the regions beyond. Verse 6 of Acts 16 says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." You know, most independent Baptists would not have obeyed that.
You're right.
Hey, they could show you Scripture to justify violating that command. Well, you know, the Bible says every creature in all the world, we're commanded to tell everybody. Well, yeah, but what if you go out there to tell somebody and the Holy Ghost says, "Not here, not now"? Now what are you going to do? Not here, not now. Well, I don't know why the Holy Ghost would tell anybody that. I don't know either, but I know this. He knows better than we do.
Amen.
It'd be a good idea to walk with God close enough that when He speaks, you can hear His voice.
Amen.
There are three voices in the world. The Spirit of God can speak to you. Satan can speak to you. And your spirit can speak to you. People have a hard time with that sometimes. "Pastor, I'm trying to figure out if this is the Lord telling me to do this or if this is just me wanting to do it." That's why you need to be able to discern the spirits. Hear the voice. And know which one you're listening to. Otherwise, you'll just talk yourself into doing something that you want to do. And then you'll tell everybody that the Lord told you to do it. And He's up there going, "No, no, 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 that was not me." They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7, "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia." They said, "Okay, you don't want us to preach here. Let's go to Bithynia." "But the Spirit suffered them not."
Right.
Nope, this is not it either. Time to move on. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." He's been told, not here, not now. Goes to the next town. Not here, not now. He goes to the next town. Goes to sleep. Sees a vision. A man of Macedonia who says, "We want you to come over here and help us." Or in other words, God is at work in Macedonia before Paul gets there. Missionaries, you ought to be encouraged by this. When God calls you to a place, He is already at work. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No, we're going to address that. But it sure does help to know that you're called. And where you're called to. Verse 10 says, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go." Paul said, "I think I know now why the Spirit's been telling us, don't preach here, don't preach here, don't preach here. I think I got it now. Come on, boys. We're heading to Macedonia." Yeah. Immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. They had a specific purpose for going, and that was to preach the gospel. It's still the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's still got the power in it. It'll work anywhere in the world. It's more powerful than 160 IQ. It's more powerful than alcohol and drugs. There are people that could stand up and testify in this service tonight, no doubt, that the gospel was more powerful than my alcohol problem. The gospel was more powerful than my drug problem. The gospel will still get the job done. It doesn't have to be a complicated sermon. In fact, you go into a foreign country, I recommend you just keep it simple. The reason we have trouble keeping it simple in America is because they done heard better than this from better than me. You already heard it all. So we have to dream up something interesting, you know, like a coffee cup. Just so somebody will remember something that was said. I wasn't even around many people today, and I already heard about that a dozen times. Yep, they got that one. See what they do with it. Besides make a joke about it. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis." Now, your pastor could tell you more about these places than I can. Because he's been there. But I'm going to keep it simple and say they went to Macedonia. And in verse number 12, they get to a place called Philippi. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Paul had to get to the right place at the right time for God to get him started preaching the gospel and teaching the Bible and producing fruit, you've got to be at the right place at the right time. Now, what are the chances when you got the whole world of just picking out the right place? Just half of it. What are the chances that you could just pick the right place to go to? I'm going to say pretty slim. It's not enough that you just think it's an interesting place. It's not enough that you think it's a beautiful place. It's not even enough that you believe it's a needy place. It's got to be the right place. The right place. And then, if you do get that right, you still got to get there at the right time. Now, I'm going to say that our chances just went way down of getting both of them right. So, what are we going to do? If we've got to be at the right place at the right time, what are we going to do? I think we're going to have to listen to the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of God, and let Him lead us and guide us and show us where to go, when to go, what to do when we get there, and perhaps more importantly, what not to do when we get there. The hardest thing for Americans to accept is that they don't know what to do. Ask any country in the world. So what do you think about Americans? They think they know everything. Ask anybody in the world. I haven't been to every country in the world, but everyone I've been to, if you ask them that question, they think, yeah, they think they know everything. They come here, they want to change the way we do everything. How about this? How about we just go over there and say, you know what? In this country, they know more about this country than I do. Maybe I should listen to them. He goes to Philippi. He has to get to the right place at the right time, and the right place happens to be in verse 13, a women's prayer meeting. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Lord, where do you want us to go? Let's go down here by the riverside. Lord, there's only women here. And we don't have any women with us. Right? All these people went on this missionary journey without their wives. There went your cup of coffee. I can't even get missionaries to do any deputation without their whole family. Just saying. Not saying that you shouldn't take your family. I'm not saying that at all. But what if the Spirit said, leave them in the church where your children can be around their friends. They're fixing to go to a foreign country. And you don't want to wear them out driving all over America for 2 or 3 years. Different church every service, and they got to be perfect so they don't mess up your chance of getting support. Huh? Because you see, we got it in our mind how things are supposed to work, or maybe how we want them to work. And God forbid that any knucklehead get up and even suggest that you don't take your family. But we all like to read missionary biographies where men would go to the field. Her wife would get sick. They'd bring them back, take them to the doctor. The doctor said, you can't go back to India, China, or wherever it is that missionary was laboring. So he'd leave his wife and children here, and he'd go back to the field for the next 4, 8, maybe 10 years. Because God had called him. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not telling any of you to do it. I'm just saying when it comes to getting the gospel to the regions beyond, there may be some sacrifices that you have not thought about yet. Maybe. Maybe not. But there may be. So he goes to the riverside, speaks to the women that were there, and verse 14 says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. The first thing you got to have to get the gospel to people or to get faith promised to people is you've got to have an open heart. One of my most difficult tasks as a preacher of faith promise in mission conferences is the so-called Bible believers who say that faith promise is a man-made doctrine and that it's not scriptural. And I can show it to them where it's in the Bible. I read it in the little booklet you got. You got it in that little booklet. You got the verses in there. You can show that Bible believer crowd the verses. And they'll still say it's man-made doctrine. You know why? The heart is not open. They believe what they want to believe. So they don't have an obligation to sacrifice to give to missions. It is the fiercest opposition I face as a preacher of faith promise. The so-called Bible believers. It said, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Until the Lord opened her heart, she would not even pay attention to what he said. She attended. She paid attention. Did you know we have a short attention span nowadays? People say, preacher, why do you say all that crazy stuff you say when you're preaching? Because I understand that I'm preaching to people with a short attention span. And if you don't say something just really crazy and way out there every once in a while, their brain just goes into mush for 10 or 15 minute stretch. And when I see people drifting, I'll say something about a coffee cup or something. What did he just say? Then they'll listen attentively to try to find something to criticize me for. But I got them listening. Verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household, not only did she get born again, but her household got born again and baptized. She besought us saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She said, man, preacher, you've been a blessing to me. I'm telling you, I never heard that preaching like you were doing. I want you to come to my house. I want you to meet my family. I want you to stay with us for a while. It looks like, amen, this ministry is really getting going. Because this woman was a wealthy woman who owned her own ships, a seller of purple. we would probably call her a millionaire today. A wealthy woman. And a church is born in Philippi. Because God got Paul to the right place at the right time. So it looks like it's smooth sailing. We're off and running. Verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, man, there's a lot in that little verse right there. Number one, they're on their way to pray again, because they know that's where the power is. Number two, this is a young woman, a damsel. And she is possessed with a spirit other than her own. Did you know that was quite common in the first century? In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Not only was it a common occurrence, but it was commonly recognized by the people. They would say, yes. They say, how long has he been possessed with this unclean spirit? He said, oh, of a child. Dad recognized it. The town recognized it. Everybody recognized it, and they didn't try to attribute it to anything else. They didn't say, well, it's a chemical imbalance. They didn't say it's attention deficit. They didn't say it's hyperactivity. I better quit. I'm just saying, when somebody was full of the devil, they just recognized it and admitted it. They're full of the devil. Did you know people don't take kindly to it nowadays? If you say they or one of their children or one of their parents is full of the devil, they don't even like it if you tell them personally. You say, how do you know? I have tried. You are full of the devil. You get all kind of reactions when you tell people that. None of them of which are good. But they recognized it in that first century. It was a common occurrence. I believe it escalated as the time of Jesus Christ being born into this world. As that time came about, there was an increase of demonic activity to wage war against the Son of God. And I believe as we draw near to the second coming of Jesus Christ, we will see the same sort of thing take place, only we might not have people who will admit the truth that this is demonic. They're going to look for all kind of options to deal with these problems that have nothing to do with the Bible and nothing to do with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing to do with the authority of the church and the man of God. But they're going to find something to blame so they can figure out whose fault this is. So this young woman was possessed with a spirit of divination. The word divination means a python or a snake. Here's a woman that's possessed with a spirit of a snake. You say, I don't believe that can happen. Well, go to Papua New Guinea. Haiti comes to mind. Some places in Africa is coming to mind. I mean, did you read the little summary in your missions book that was handed out when you got to this meeting? Brother Fisa, describes in there what's going on in Gabon. And he mentions all these things. Why? Because it's fairly common in that country. And it's recognized for what it is, rather than saying they have some kind of emotional trauma in their life. This spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the word soothsaying literally means telling the truth. In other words, she was a palm reader that could actually tell you what was going to happen. He said, I don't believe that. That's our problem. We don't believe there's a supernatural enemy that can give people supernatural powers. And I'll pay for preaching this sermon. You know how I'll pay for preaching this sermon? The devil will stick some of them on me. I'll have 2 or 3 days to pay for this. But it's still the truth. This woman could tell people the truth and deceive them that the power that she has is greater than the power of the Bible or of God. She could look in a crystal ball and tell you what was going to happen. She'd tell you the truth. And people would come back to her because what she said really happened. The Sanguma man in Papua New Guinea does the same thing. He carves out a little idol or a little stone figure of who, and he looks through a little hole that's in the middle of that thing at who he wants to put a curse on. He says, I don't believe that. Go to Papua New Guinea and be a missionary for 25 years and you'll change your mind. Just because you haven't seen it before doesn't mean it can't happen. Soothsaying, telling the truth. Did you know that the devil has preachers that will tell you the truth if it'll deceive you and get you off track? You even heard people say something like this before. Well, it's just the truth. I just believe in telling the truth. Yeah, but what kind of spirit are you telling that truth with? Spirit of God or spirit of a snake trying to devour and hurt somebody? Some people use the truth to hurt people. It's not our job to hurt people, brethren. It's our job to minister and to help people. Don't take the truth and think that gives you the right to go around hurting people. Soothsaying. Telling the truth. Verse 17, the same, this damsel with the snaky spirit, followed Paul and us. That's Dr. Luke. He wrote the book of Acts and whoever else is with him here. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now I got a question for you. What's not true about what she said? It's all true. These men, well, they were all men. They were not gender confused like people are nowadays. They knew what they were. These men are the servants. They're servants of the Most High God. He is the Most High. You know, most preachers would be glad to have somebody like that running around with them advertising for them. Which show unto us the way of salvation. What's wrong with that? Not a thing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that. Verse 18 says, and this did she many days. Day after day after day, they're going around to preach the Word of God, and she's hollering out loud for everybody to hear, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You know what she's really doing? She's distracting people from the men of God. And she's got what I call the snaky damsel show going on. Look at me. These men are the servants of the Most High God. She's louder than they are. She's getting all the attention. You say, what has that got to do with missions? It has everything to do with missions. You know what'll kill a mission program? Get you a snaky damsel in your church that wants all the attention. And every time the Lord starts moving, that snake in her starts moving. And she's going to jump up and say something or do something to get everybody looking at her. Or, in some cases, a him. It could be a snaky damsel. It could be a snaky dude. And you know what? In order for us to look to God and trust in God and depend on God, He makes sure every church has at least one. So that you got to pray. And you got to pray for your pastor. Dr. Luke didn't deal with this snaky damsel. And he's a doctor. He's a doctor. Why didn't he give her some meds? Because meds don't affect a snake. I was asked today, how do you tell the difference between somebody with mental problems and somebody that's just full of the devil? I said, give them psycho meds. If it helps them, they got mental illness. If it does not help them, they got a devil. You give them meds, and they're still wanting all the attention, and they're still distracting from what's going on at the house of God, they got a demon. But if you can get them on meds and keep them on meds and they can come to church and not be a problem, they got mental problems. As long as you can get them to take the meds, they'll be all right. You say, where'd you get that? From a man that dealt with these people every day. That's how he explained it to me. It made sense to me. You see, in other words, you can give a demon psych meds, and he's still going to be a demon. But you give a person psych meds, if they got mental illness, it'll calm them down. And they'll behave. Or they'll tell you they're taking the meds, but as soon as you quit looking, they're spitting them out because they don't feel right taking these meds. It makes them gain weight when they take the meds. If you got mental illness, just go ahead and take the meds. It's better than worrying about how you feel and how much weight you gain is irrelevant if you've got mental illness. Now, here's what I'd like for you to see about this story. About half of you are listening now. The other half bored to tears because you don't even believe this could happen. That's why one of your children or grandchildren is going to be one of these. And this did she many days. In other words, Paul didn't deal with this the first day that it happened. Do you see that? He probably wanted to. Because it says, Paul being grieved. He was grieved that this snaky damsel show was taking attention away from the gospel of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. People were watching her more than they were listening to him. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Didn't say he said to the damsel. He addressed the Spirit. The snake. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out. The same hour. In other words, this female person had a male spirit. You see that in that verse? You believe your King James Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice? It is possible for a female to have a male spirit. Our country is eat up with that now. And we could turn that around and say we've got a lot of men that have a female spirit. Manliness is under attack in America. Our society despises red-blooded men who believe they have the authority in the home and the authority in the pulpit. Our country is totally against a man's authority. So they are being fairly successful at making men effeminate and making women in charge. Masculine. Because they get things done. You see, Satan finds this damsel to use, and he uses satanically inspired truth. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. He uses satanically inspired truth. People tell me this all the time. They'll say something about, have you heard so-and-so preach? Sometimes I'll say, yeah. What'd you think about him? I'd say, false prophet, fake preacher. What? He preaches just like you do. I heard him preach the gospel just as sound as you preach it. It's not what you say. It's the spirit you say it with. And it's not always what you say. It's what you don't say. There's a lot of guys that will tell the truth when it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when it comes to the sins of our day, they suddenly can't say a word. Like what I just did about, you know, a woman with a man's spirit and a man with a woman's spirit and the feminization of America. I'm telling you, they're not going to say that from most pulpits in America because their parking lot would be full of perverts the very next Sunday. Marching and protesting. These bigots. This she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, in turn said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Now, if you got the power that the Apostle Paul had, you can deal with these snakes like that. What are you going to do if you don't have the power the Apostle Paul had? And a snake's coming into your church causing distractions, keeping people from being attentive to the Word of God. And you talk to her or him. You know, you appreciate it if you wouldn't do that during the service, you know. And they just continue to distract. Now, let me ask you this, church. Whose job is it to take care of that? Anybody want to venture a guess? It's not a trick question. Somebody has to take care of that situation, or you will have continual distractions. And the buck stops here. Just where the buck stops. But you know what? When you tell a snaky spirit, you can't do that here, they're going to hiss at you. And they're going to let you know, this is my church. I can do what I want to here. But when they're a distraction, when they're hindering people from hearing and hindering people from getting saved, you have the same problem, you know. If I'm sure you don't have it here in Alabama, but in Houston, you know, occasionally we have somebody, they'll have a baby and they just can't put it in the nursery. This baby's so precious, I just can't put this baby in the nursery. No. Which is fine when they're little bitty. When they're little bitty, they'll be pretty quiet. But then they get a little older. And the next thing you know, everybody's sitting around, that couple with that little baby, they can't get a word of what's going on because the baby, even if the baby is not being loud, it's so cute, it's distracting. Huh? Right? So people get the idea, well, as long as the baby's quiet, you know, as long as he's, you know, if he's smiling and waving, maybe he's being quiet. It's still a distraction. But when you go to them and say, you know, we got a nursery over here. We've got some godly ladies in here that love the Lord. They love children. If you go put your, we'll get one of the ladies to show you where the nursery is. I'm not putting my baby in the nursery. You know what that is? Rebellion against authority. That's what that is. Now, I'm not saying you got to have a nursery. I'm not saying you got to put a baby in the nursery. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if the pastor says you need to go put this baby in the nursery, you need to just go put it in the nursery. End of story. Or you will reveal that you're the one with the snaky spirit. But here's what happens if the pastor deals with that. Could I tell you from experience what happens when a pastor deals with that? Not only will that mother be upset with you, but her little mousy husband will get upset too. Because he can't tell her to put the baby in the nursery. He ain't going there. And when the pastor tells, he's not going to say a word. He's not going to say, hey, this is my wife. No, he's too mousy for that. He's just going to sit there and try to pretend this is not happening. And then when you say, ma'am, you need to go put the baby in the nursery, or you just need to go home. You say, you wouldn't do that. I have done it. And I've watched her get her mousy little man by the arm and lead him out of the service. Baby in one hand, man in the other hand. And here she goes. I did that at East River Baptist Church in New Caney. Oh, I can't even tell you how many years ago. I hadn't even been in that church for the last 24 years, so it's been longer than that. I went to visit them on visitation night after I did that. Knocked on their door. Hey, I'm Pastor Danny Farley. East River Baptist Church. Appreciate you being in our service Sunday. She said, I'm not coming back. He said nothing. I said, well, we'd really like for you to come back. You said I had to put my baby in the nursery. I said, well, you do have to do that. You do have to do that. If you come back, you got to put the baby in the nursery. Well, I'm not doing it. I said, well, I just wanted to let you know I appreciate you visiting our church. Went out to my car. Her husband followed me. I thought, he's going to get away from her and he's going to tell me something since he was away from her. I get in my car. Before I started up, he leans over there and he says, I wish I could talk to my wife like that. I'm telling you, that's what he said. I said, God bless you, my friend. But if you can't talk to her when I'm here to help you, you don't have a chance by yourself. They never came back. You say, I just don't believe that's right. That's because you'd rather the gospel be ineffective than to take a chance on offending somebody. I would rather take a chance on offending somebody so the gospel can be effective. It just depends on what's important to you. You know what happened after this encounter? Probably the greatest church in the New Testament was built. The church at Philippi. Paul's favorite. My dearly beloved. My beloved brethren. Over and over in those four little chapters, he expressed his love for that church. And they loved him. Because they knew he had their best interest at heart. Even if what he did looked mean, overboard, unnecessary, they knew that he had their church's best interest at heart. And I started in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 because they are to this day still the example in the Bible for the grace of giving. After 2,000 years, they're still who we preach about when it comes to giving to missions to get the gospel to the regions beyond. And what was necessary was a women's prayer meeting, and evidently they weren't even saved because Lydia got saved, but she's praying. That tells us there's lost people that are praying. They don't understand yet. But as soon as a man of God goes in there with the Word of God and the Spirit of God in him and on him, they will attend to the things he says. And as soon as the devil realizes, uh-oh, I'm fixing to lose this soul. I'm fixing to lose control of this life. He's going to stir somebody up to rise up against the preaching of the truth and the authority of the man doing it. So here's what I wonder. Would you like to have a great missions church? Would you give your pastor the authority to deal with these situations when they arise and back him up? Or is that just a little too much for some of you? Listen, we don't want to go around and pick on anybody. We want to be nice to everybody. But it's hard to be nice to the devil. The devil does not respond well to us being nice to him. But we have on our side the God of heaven, and His Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Bible, which is the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost, which was given to us when Jesus left this world. And if a church body will agree together, we are not going to allow the devil to continually grieve the message of this church. You will see the power of God like you've never seen it before. But somebody will go home tonight pretty twisted off about this sermon. You say, how do you know? I've preached it before. They just don't believe this kind of stuff still happens. There's a lady that used to be a member of the Shady Acres Baptist Church that if she pulls in the parking lot, I've instructed the men, just call 911. Yes, what's your emergency? We have a trespasser on our church parking lot. It won't leave. Would you please send a couple of officers over here? We might need two cars. Because there's some guns on the parking lot. We don't want this thing to escalate. So could you hurry, please? Thank you. Click. You start mentioning guns on the church parking lot. Here they come. That way, nobody has to get physical with this snake. That's what you don't want to do. Snakes don't mind you getting physical with them. And usually about the third time they get hauled off from the church parking lot in the back of a police car, they decide not to come back. But they won't get the message the first time because they're full of the devil. You got to show them. We will not tolerate. Paul was not going to tolerate this woman hindering the gospel once he got to the right place at the right time. It was too important.